This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Moving fast through a Wednesday edition of Kelly and Company. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate your time. And wherever you are listening in, do remember to drop us a line, maybe on Twitter. She's at All Rams. I am at AMI Kelly Mack. Always love to hear from you. Well, Rum, on every second Wednesday, we talk a little independent living. Today, we've got a lot of things to get into that I think is going to take us more than one day. We will see, because we get asking questions, we get curious, and trying to confirm some things and make sure we understand and give everybody a lot to take away. So let's bring in Leanne Barta to talk independent living.
I'm Leanne Barta. I'm an independent living skills specialist, and if you have questions about independent living, join me on Kelly and Company for all our tips and tricks.
You know, Leanne, what I find so wonderful when we bring you in and have the conversations, so many things that I know you have picked up in ways to help people out, shortcuts, making things adaptable, because there's always something every day we can bring up, as we were earlier in the show talking about the inaccessibility of test kits for COVID, and then just the little things that happen at home every day. And today we're going to focus on all things bedroom, from bed making to folding and organization, which is always a tricky thing to get into. So I'll leave it with you on that. Where do we start, and what brought this around?
Well, I figure since everyone's trapped at home, either from COVID or from snowstorms, or, you know, who knows, zombie apocalypses, we have time to sit home and start to organize ourselves. So I thought this would be a really good place to start. And I know usually we save our, you know, room by room thing organization for spring, but I feel like this is a special occasion, so we should probably get into it a little sooner.
Well, and with you guys out in that Toronto area, I'll just stay at home. Oh. And what else can I do? Oh, I'll do some organizing. So how can we set ourselves up for success even before actually cleaning and organizing?
Right, exactly. So keeping your bedroom neat and organized feels like somewhat of an impossible task, especially, you know, if you've got kids and pets and everything else. And now, of course, with time constraints and family needs and work and everything else, it keeps cleaning and organizing tough. And so if you put a few simple systems in place and some minor adaptations, you can keep it going with a minimal effort. So if you have like a baseline system set up, then, you know, rather than starting from scratch every single time you go to clean, you know that, okay, well, when I'm cleaning up, all of my towels get folded and they get put in this particular cupboard on this particular shelf. And when I make the bed, I have, you know, everything I need to make the bed in one package. So just, you know, wherever you can simplify, it makes all the difference. So things you may want to consider are the use of color, contrast, textures, lighting, and other cues to help you set up and organize your bedroom. So if you have low vision, adding better light in the closet can help you with identifying clothing. It could also help with making sure that you can tell the colors of things apart. So I know for some people, telling black and navy blue is a really big issue.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, is the lighting in the closet, you want to consider, is it bright enough for you? Is it even and not creating deep shadows? If that's the closet, it's not, the lighting in the closet is not adequate, you know, if it's bright enough outside, can you bring it to the window and see if that extra light can help you identify or differentiate the colors? I know some people, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say that I do that all the time. Like it's honestly, huge to be able to take stuff to the window, or if you have proper lighting in other ways, because sometimes the ceiling light is not enough, or your closets are dark and you have other systems, right? Like you're going to talk about all these are the systems we have for closet organization, but the light, it's like, oh, I haven't worn this in a while. What color is it again?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And unfortunately, for those of us with low vision, Like, you just never know what it's going to come up, because the light that you have may really affect it too. And there's only so much you can ask of the apps that color tell, you know, and that lighting issue is an issue for anyone at Be My Eyes or Ira too. They might, well, you need to go some, so therefore you're taking it somewhere else anyway. Put the light in the closet.
Right. Exactly. So if you get a nice bright white light that, instead of those yellow lights, it's going to help a little bit more with some of that that contrast. Another thing you can do is match colors, so you can hold your clothing items side by side under the brighter natural light and see if that's, if you're able to see, okay, I know for sure this is navy blue, but I'm not sure is this black. So if that, if you have enough usable vision that that would work for you, that's another option.
Yeah, really now, true. And how about like keeping flashlights and stuff? Do you recommend that?
Okay. You know what? I have, I confess, I have one in my bedside table and I use it all the time. And I don't, I have
no judgment.
I have 20/20 vision with correction, but I use my flashlight all the time. Especially at night, my cat gets into mischief and I don't want to turn on the big light. And so again, the same thing with the flashlight, a nice bright white light. So you can see those little LED flashlights from Dollarama are fantastic.
Great.
So yeah, so
go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the first places to start to help you feel like your bedroom is put together is making the bed. So, you know, that's kind of like the centerpiece of your room. And if it's not made, everything else feels chaotic. So something so simple can rejuvenate the whole look of your room and, you know, make it go a long way to feeling more organized. So there's a few ways you can simplify the task. So we talked about keeping everything together. So to keep your sheet set together, you can place it in a corresponding pillowcase. So the top sheet, the fitted sheet, and the extra pillowcase, it all gets put into the corresponding pillowcase. And then all you have to do when you're done is go into your closet, grab that one set, and you know you have all the pieces you need to finish making your bed nicely.
Awesome. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find, I don't know who designed fitted sheets, but it must be someone who.
And why?
Yeah.
And why?
Yep. They, stay they snug. Never go on. If you can get it on.
Exactly. Is it the right way? Is it the wrong way? You know, it's so hard to determine which, you know, which pocket goes where.
I remember as a kid, my mother giving us, you know, and I felt so proud because, of course, when I was at the blind school, we made our beds and stuff like that.
Yeah,
no problem, Mom. Yeah. Went in, and I remember crying trying to get the darn fitted sheet to work.
Yeah, exactly. And folding fitted sheets is another, a whole other separate conversation. So one thing you can do once you figure out which is the long side versus the short side, you can sew a button on that little part so you know exactly that that's the long side. So if your button is lined up with the bottom seam of your bed, then you know for sure that that fitted sheet is going to go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so after the fitted sheet.
Yeah. So making sure those elastic corners are fully tucked under. So I think I have a mattress that weighs like 50,000 pounds and I can't lift it by myself. So getting it tucked in is, you know, a bit of a challenge. Thank God I have Emily.
Right.
But yeah, but they're actually things that you can buy now. They're like little clips and they will keep your fitted sheet tight. So you just clip it on the bottom underneath that corner and it keeps everything in place.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there are solutions to fitted sheets.
There are. So for duvets as well. So I know with the duvet, sometimes the cover shifts from the actual duvet itself. So you could actually buy special clips that go inside the duvet to keep it in the corners so it stays lined up.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Okay, but between the duvet and the the last time I made my bed cover. Anyway. Right. Yeah. But there's clips. The flat sheet, right? Between all this.
Yes. Yes. And so between the duvet, which is problematic, and the fitted sheet, which is problematic, you have the fitted sheet and it'll have a wider seam at the top. So it actually will have like, it's almost like a tactile line that goes across the top and it's about
the flat sheet.
A couple of inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the flat sheet. And then, you know, that goes at the top. So at least
right.
It has that tactile like component to it. And then you want to make sure it's even on both sides so that each person has an equal amount of sheet at night, which that is a whole other thing.
We won't get into that today.
No, nope, not today. So pillowcases can be tricky as well. So if the pillow is extra like thick or puffy, you can tuck the long end of the pillow under your chin and then shimmy the case from the bottom to the top. So I usually say like put the tag side into the pillowcase first because you don't want that tag, you know, rubbing against your face.
Right.
Yeah. And then once you're done all that, you know, you place your pillows at the head of the bed. And if you have decorative throws and pillows or stuffed animals or whatever it is that makes you happy, then
don't sleep in it because you don't want to be doing this all over again tomorrow.
No, yeah, Rumya probably has all that stuff there. And that, so you have to go out and sleep somewhere else with all the stuffed animals or whatever you have there, right? I'm not messing up this
nice bed.
Or like
Leanne was going to say, sleep on it gently. Don't move.
Yeah. Nope. Just roll off in the morning.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Got it.
Okay, so you've wrestled with the bed, got that sorted.
Yep, so now bed's done. Now
after making beds, that, you're gonna tame, let's call it nicely way, the rest of the drawers and closets.
Yes. So that could be an hours long job. So depending on how really things have gotten or how, you know, unorganized things are, if there's junk all sitting in the bunch in the bottom of the closet. Like I know at Christmas time, every time I went shopping to hide things from the kids, it just got shoved in the closet and I just closed the door and forgot about it.
What? We never do that.
No, nobody does that.
How did this get here?
You mean I bought those presents already? Oh, well, anyway. So a good rule of thumb that I use before Christmas shopping. If I haven't used or worn something in the last 6 to 12 months, chances are you probably won't look at it again. So donating unused items to charity or shelters is a good way to put them to good use. Now, one thing that I've learned about in the last year, Facebook has a lot of these Buy Nothing Toronto groups, which are actually fantastic. So they're usually done by neighborhood and people will post things that they're no longer using. And it's like basically trading kind of a thing. So someone will say, oh, I have this vacuum that I'm not using anymore. And then someone else will say, oh, I have this hairdryer. Does anybody want it? And then you post your intersection where you are and they'll say, okay, well, I choose you. So you come and pick it up at this time. And I've gotten rid of so much of my stuff and the kids' stuff. And then I've gotten like skates and brand new shoes with tags. It's actually like an awesome resource.
It's cool because it sounds like purging, but also your like slash yard sale. You know what I mean? You get stuff in return.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's personal. So people will post like a bunch of stuff on there and you'll say, which lot do you want? And say, oh, I need it because of this. And then people will say, okay, yeah, I like your story. Okay, come pick up at this time and send me a direct message. And it's worked really quite well. So now that we've gone on our Facebook group and we've gotten rid of our stuff.
Right.
we can pare down to things you're comfortable managing. So start by putting outfits together on hangers with all their accessories so you can just pull it out and ready to go. So I know when I do work with seniors, we'll put a pants or a skirt on a hanger, then the top that corresponds with it. And then if they like to wear a brooch or if they like to wear a particular necklace with something, or if it's a gentleman, then I'll a tie or whatever else goes with it. And everything will be on the hanger so that the person just has to go in there, grab the complete set and get dressed. And they don't have to think about it.
Leanne, do you
find
that
this is a cool idea. Go ahead.
Well, I was just more wondering, do you find that a lot of people try to wear stuff, especially those of us in the community, that just kind of matches several things, or you know, like again, as opposed to, because when I was younger, we had all the outfits, the shirts that went and stuff like that. That's what I was the time that I was a kid and stuff like that. That's what everybody, they had more outfits, you know, this shirt goes with these pants. It was almost like they were bought together. But our society seems in a lot of cases, and people in the community tend to wear a lot more stuff that matches multiple pants or multiple shirts. So you do find that's really what people are doing now, a little more than the actual outfits.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So if you have mix and match, Yep. Mix and match. So if you have, you know, those khakis or those jeans, you know that it'll pretty much go with any shirt or top you have in the closet. So that is a really, mm-hmm. you know, easy way of taking care of it. Having, you know, just, I only buy black socks and that's all I've got.
Right. Exactly. No, but even in the winter, you know, if you're not necessarily outfitting everything together on one hanger, but, you know, you're putting like a certain mitt, hat and scarf thing together, right? Like you're outfitting the accessories, yes, at right. least that go together, right? Or like certain pairs of jewelry will go together. That kind of thing I find to be super helpful too. Because everything in my closet's like yep. gray, black, blue anyway. So everything's gold.
You know? Right, exactly. So however, you know, whatever system makes sense to you, that's the you know, that's the way to go with it. So right. the next thing, you know, I'll organize people's closets by color, by pattern, or by season. So you can put all the light colors in the front, the pastels in the middle, and the dark clothes at the end. And then you can mark them with a series of small safety pins with beads on them. So if it's black, it's a little safety pin with one bead. If they're blue, it's a safety pin with two beads, and so on. So, you know, whatever, it's a low-tech system and it works really well. You can also
There's different textures for beads too, right?
Leanne? Oh yeah. Yes. So you can, yeah. Oh okay. yeah. Dollarama, like you can get like a whole bead kit, and you can just pin it right to the tag on your clothes, and make sure, you know, you want to have a legend so that's accessible to you, so that anybody who is helping you, or like if you have someone who's doing that kind of thing for you or with you, that they know what your system is, so that they put everything back in the closet in the same way.
Right.
Because okay. there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, having a system in place and then someone coming in behind you, and even like a spouse or a loved one who come in and say, oh, I'm just going to put the pants over here and I'm going to put that over there. Mm-hmm. And then it may as well be gone, you know?
For sure.
And we've talked about like technologies like Be My Eyes or Seeing AI or any of those color detector apps. And I find they're extremely hit and miss, even mm-hmm. with good lighting.
Yep.
Like it's told, I have like, I guess like dark, not like brown hair. And it's told my hair, told me that my hair was green and that my skin was like olive color. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
that's not
and,
it.
And unfortunately,
not today.
And Be My Eyes, not that today. Is only as good as your camera.
Exactly.
Leanne, we have to halt it right here.
Yeah.
We know we're going to
do a good break.
Yeah, I think so. We've got other things. We'll pick up maybe folding and stuff like that. Stick with clothes when we begin in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Leanne. Leanne Barta joining us to talk independent living. We're looking in the bedroom and getting it organized. We're going to take a break, folks, as we do at this time every day. When we return, we'll talk a little bit about this show. We'll see what's coming up tomorrow on Now with Dave Brown and preview Kelly and Company, the Thursday edition after this. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.